All right, we're rolling, I think. I'm seeing red dots. That's good, right? Okay. All right, cool. So we'll try it. We'll see how it goes. And the last time I got my voice recorded was when I was playing Ernest T. Bass at the Valentine's Banquet. And before that, it was when I was a disc jockey 25 years ago. And I go back and listen to those tapes every so often, and it is terrible. Terrible. My voice goes high. You ever get excited? I remember the first time I went on the air, it's like, "Is there an nonsense?" It was awful. If you ever are in front of people and you're ever talking, relax. Try not to worry about it. Just be yourself. It'll come across a lot better. But man, I was a bucket of nerves back then. And come to find out, only two people were listening, my grandma and my mom. So everybody else didn't even know I was on the radio. Anyway, it didn't matter. It was a fun job, though. I'm not going to lie. It was fun. Didn't make any money, but it was fun. Couldn't support a family doing it, so I had to get a real job in the real world. So today, let's go to Acts 16, 23 through 26. Acts 16, we'll get started. This is an interesting lesson today. And the reason that it's interesting is because I thought of actually Brother Linton during a lot of this studying. And I'll tell you why as we get into it. Acts 16, 23 through 26. What's going on here? Paul and Silas are in jail. We'll just read it. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." So Paul and Silas here had been put into jail for doing what? They had healed a young lady, cast out demons. And so a spirit of divination that they had cast out. And so the local authorities said, "Well, we're not going to have that." They beat them, threw them in jail. Now, jail in those days was not the three hots and a cot you get today. Jail was almost dungeon-like. It was dank, it was wet, it was smelly, which some prisons are still that way. But you did not have niceties back then. So you were beaten, and then you were put in stocks. So you were put in stocks where you could not move. So you couldn't even walk around. It didn't matter how big your cell was, because you were stuck right there. And usually there was other people in there with you. You didn't have your own cell. You didn't have a place to go to the bathroom. You just went to the bathroom where you were in your stocks. You didn't get food. It was not a pleasant thing. Okay. So Paul and Silas are in jail. And they're wrongfully thrown in there. They didn't do anything wrong. They got the beating. They were put in stocks. Their arms and legs are immobile. Cramps, you lose your circulation, things fall asleep, depressing atmosphere, very dungeon-like area, stench. So in the middle of this, despite all the pain they'd been through, they'd already been beaten, they're in stocks, they're in a terrible area, what did they start doing? Singing praises. Now, put yourself in their shoes. Would you be able to praise the Lord in that situation? You know, we complain when little things don't go our way. But these guys had every reason in the world to be mad and to be upset. They're wrongfully in there. They didn't deserve what they got. But when they started praising, what happened? The earthquake came. All the cells were opened up. God showed up on the scene, right? Every other prisoner was released. Those shackles were broken apart. So what caused all this? What do you think? What caused God to show up? Why didn't he show up before they started singing and praying? That's what we want to talk about today. Praise. Praise. Praise puts us into God's presence. This is a very interesting thing that came out to me in a scripture we're going to talk about today. Paul and Silas, they knew the secret of how to get God's presence and how to get his power. It was through praise and worship. Because he meant the most to them in their hearts, okay? Everything they did was for him. Their praise and their worship, that brought God in, okay? Psalms 22:3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." So the verse that really jumped out to me was Psalms 104. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." That verse has never really stood out to me. But think about this for a second. I'll carry this with me so they can hear. Let's say God's up here on the stage. Okay? What does this verse say? Let's pretend these are the gates, right? So I'm outside the gates. What does this verse say? It says what? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So this is how we get in the room where God's at, right? But it says, and into his courts with praise. So I get in to his presence by being thankful, right? We're a terribly unthankful generation. So we get in the same room that God's in with thanksgiving. But how do we get on into his courts? How do we get closer to God? How do we get into this spot right here? Praise. I never saw that in that verse. Is that not what it says? It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts. Well, it's very simple. There's a gate, there's a courtyard, and there's the throne, right? The picture's all in the Bible. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but that's what jumped off the page at me. We get in here with thanksgiving, but we get on in with the praise. So praise isn't something that happens. Praise and worship, I don't know that it just happens after God shows up. I believe it's something that gets us into his presence. It's the other way around. That's what leapt off the page to me in studying this lesson. It's not something we do only after we get into his presence. No, no, no. It's the way to get into his presence. It's the way we get into his presence is with praise. Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." It's a gathering in whose name? His name. Okay? It means he has to be the focus. He has to be the center of the reason you're getting together. He has to be the one preached about. When you get up and teach or preach about someone other than Jesus Christ, that's not what, he's not going to show up. He's just not going to do it because he's not the center of attention. That's what he's saying right here. You gather together, me and Ryan can gather together in Jesus' name, he's going to show up. But if we're not gathering together in his name, Jesus' name, God doesn't promise to be there. Have we noticed the Holy Spirit move in a service? You ever notice that? What causes that? What causes God to enter a service? I hear Brother Charlie say a lot, "Boy, it's just not like it was in the old days." Why? What causes God to show up? Have we noticed? We've seen the Holy Spirit. Nobody in this room, maybe, I don't know, but maybe there's some that haven't seen it, but I doubt it, have seen the Holy Spirit show up in the service. And there is a difference. You know when he comes. You know it. But who is getting the attention when that happens? God is. God is. A lot of people think that worship is a response to the Holy Spirit coming in. I don't think so. It's the other way around. The Holy Spirit comes in as a response to our worship. We have to lay it out there for Him first. Then He comes in. He comes in. He responds to the invitation and the worship. The praise. God responds to our worship. When we lift up Jesus Christ through praise and worship, that invokes the Lord's presence and His power. Not the other way around. And I've heard this a lot. Well, God doesn't force Himself into a service. Absolutely true. Why? We're not praising Him. We're not doing it. It's about us. And the emphasis is not on Christ. It has to be the most important thing in our life. It's got to be. And the reason I know this, there's like 80 kajillion verses about it. As we study through this, and I'm going to blow through a lot of these verses fast because we only got 30 minutes. But my. The Bible, it may be the most number one topic in the whole Bible. Praise and fellowship with the Lord. Isaiah 43:7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Why did God make you? For his glory. His glory. Our life should be a song of praise and glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That covers everything. Everything. Praise was the purpose for which He created us. We ought to voluntarily give Him the praise. Now, He doesn't force us to do that. That's the beauty of God. My dad is a Calvinist, or was. I said, why do you pray, Pop? What do you possibly hope to achieve by praying to God? Why do you care? If He does everything and makes you do everything in your life, what does it matter? Right? There's no reason to. God doesn't. We're not puppets on a string. All He then is a puppet master. If you force your kids to do everything, you are just making them slaves. They are not getting to choose to fellowship with you. That's the beauty of God. He gives us the option of fellowshipping with Him. Right? He inhabits that praise. He wants us to praise Him, but He doesn't make us do it. Okay? He doesn't make us do it. That's the wonderful thing. It's also the terrible thing, because when we don't enjoy His fellowship. We don't. So what is praise? Definition: to bestow approval upon, to honor, to worship, to glorify, commendation, to commend, to applaud, to magnify, to stretch out the hand, to hold out the hands in reverence. Some people stand and they praise God with their hands. And a lot of people, I can feel the frowns on some people when other folks do that. And that's always bothered me. Why does that bother you? What does this mean? You ever seen a cop show where the cop pointing a gun at you? Put your hands up.
Surrender.
If I put my hands up, I have no way to defend myself. It's all about whoever's in charge, right? Right now, if my hands are up, I'm giving myself over to you with humility. My pride is gone. You got the gun, you're in charge, right? That'll eliminate your pride in a hurry. Same thing with God. We get rid of that pride in ourselves. It's all about us. This is us. In most church services, this is how we come to church. We didn't come with praise. You got to give it up to the Lord. That's what praise is. That's why I thought about Brother Linton. I remember I'd be in services and he'd say, "God be magnified." Out loud, boy, you could almost feel God come in when he would do that. I'm like, by George, I think he's got it. It mattered to him about God being there. He understood without God, it's a waste of time. And we're here to praise and worship him. Jordan does this a lot. He says it's all about the Lord. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. When it's about us, then we're not welcoming him in. We're not putting him at the top to commend, to applaud. Brother Lynn would also say, "God be magnified. Lord be magnified. He is worthy." He would say things like that. And it's like you could feel God walk in the room. Same thing in song, music. When it's done right for his glory and honor, he comes on in. Brother Charlie says a lot of times about, you know, the Holy Spirit coming in. Why is it just in song? He can come in and preach it, just like he can in song. Don't have to just be singing. But why? Because you've let it be for him. You've invited him in. You're worshiping. You're praising. Then he comes in, not the other way around. And that's where our problem is. We expect God to show up, but we're not worshiping and praising. We're not putting him at the top of the list. We're not. That's why he doesn't show up. I think it's pretty simple. We're not putting him at the top of the list. We're not raising our hands, getting rid of our pride, getting rid of ourselves. That's our problem. We can't let go of stuff. You know, those criminals, finally, they have to surrender. You know, when it's too late to do anything else, they try, they run, they hide. Finally, they're dead to rights. Okay, you got me. They have to humble themselves down. Nobody humbles himself anymore. Nobody does. Why do you think we got all these problems in our country right now? It's all about me. All about me. I'm going to get what I'm going to get. We're not inviting him in. We praise and honor what we prize dearly in our life. If my son were to play football and make a touchdown, I would clap and yell and be happy. And I would talk to all my friends about, "Y'all see Troy make that touchdown?" It's just a unique example. That hasn't happened yet. But if it does, if it does, I would be proud. We praise what we honor. We praise what's important to us. You got little kids. "Oh, did you see little Susie do this or that?" And he prays. And there's nothing wrong with that. We praise what we honor, what we prize, what's important to us. We praise it. My wife has some small amount of faults. But my job is to never bring those up and to praise her. It is. That's my job. But you know what? I do honor her. And if I'm not talking good about her, that's on me. She needs to be in that high spot in my life. The Bible said to husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the what? Church. And gave himself for it. So husbands, Taylor, it's coming up for you. Any other husband, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Is to put her above yourself, give yourself up for it. Oh, that's difficult. I catch myself saying something negative about my wife, and inside of you, Nimrod, quit doing that. It doesn't matter if there's problems. It doesn't matter if there's issues. It doesn't matter if she has a minor fault or two. I've got way more than she does. My job, though, is to lift her above me, right? Christ did that for the church. He did that for the church. We humble ourselves and we put our attention on the Lord out of the heart. Okay? That transports us into the realm of the supernatural. It is a supernatural experience when God shows up in a church service. And that's how we get him here. It's through praise. Psalms 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. There's a lot of things involved with praise to God. Verbal, thanksgiving, singing, playing instruments, shouting, dancing, lifting up your hands, clapping your hands. All are ways to praise the Lord. But true praise, it's not just going through emotion. And you see that in a lot of denominations. My aunt was in one like that. It didn't matter. If the church was dry, all of a sudden somebody was breaking out a tambourine. And they were going to be doing whatever they could to stir up some whatever, you know. And I remember at her funeral, her daughter broke out the tambourine. And it was really quite funny. But there wasn't a bit of Holy Spirit in there anywhere. When you're born again and you got the Holy Spirit inside you, you know what's fake and what's not. God tells you, this is a bunch of garbage. I was kind of disappointed because at my Uncle Johnny's funeral, no tambourine. It's kind of boring. I texted my mom on the way home. I said, I'm mad there was not one tambourine in the whole service. It was boring. It's just like a funeral. God delights in the love and devotion of his children. John 4:23, the true worshipers, now there's all kinds of worshipers out there. But what does he say here? The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We talk a lot about spirit and truth, but we don't focus on the start of that verse, the true worshipers. You really want to worship God? You got to do it in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's what he wants. Do you know praise is required? Who does God tell to praise him? Who? Well, let's look at a few. The angels, Psalms 103:20, bless the Lord, ye his angels. Psalms 34, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalms 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. He tells the nations to praise him. Psalms 117:1, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Children, Matthew 21:16, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. You think a little kid can't praise the Lord? Absolutely can. Everybody and everything, Psalms 148:7. Listen to this list. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons. God's going to get praise from the wicked people, whether they like it or not. It's coming. All ye and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains. Can the mountains praise God? Sure. And all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. You think that's a pretty extensive list? The praise of, let them praise the Lord. Let me see, I got stopped here. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Who does God tell to praise? Everybody, everything, beasts, trees, hills. You ever saw that movie, The Hills Are Alive, with the sound of music? My wife makes me watch that. What's the name of that? Sound of Music. But listen, you go up in the mountains, go to Gatlinburg sometime and look at those mountains and you start hearing that wind blow through the trees. Man, I'm telling you, if you'll stop and forget about yourself for a second and just listen to nature. We were at that waterfall yesterday, Justin. To me, that is a sound God gave us. Even the waterfalls, they worship the Lord. The rocks cry out. He said, you don't do it, the rocks will do it. God's going to get praise. It'd be better if we gave it to him. Praise shouldn't just be at church. It should be a part of your lifestyle. It's got to be a part of your daily life, at work, in the car, at home, anywhere. It brings the Lord's presence. We get upset because God's not doing anything. Well, I wonder why. Maybe we're not praising him enough. Maybe we haven't worshiped him. Maybe we're not praising him. Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I have noticed the people that I revere as being close to the Lord. And there's a few examples in my life that I know if I went up and asked them to pray, they'd say, let's pray now. And God would be me, this one lady in particular, her, and God. The three of us would just be standing there. She had that kind of power to do it. But you never heard a negative word out of her mouth. And I'm nowhere near that. I'd love to be. Can you imagine being so close to the Lord that you praise him continually, no matter what the situation? Oh, that's how you get the presence of God in your life. No matter what's going on, not just in the good times, all times. He said praise continually. Did you know praise is a sacrifice? I don't know if a bunch of y'all weren't in these lessons, but we talked about worship. There's hardly ever worship without sacrifice. We've talked about that a lot. Anytime you see worship, a few verses before, a few verses after, there was some sort of sacrifice. You had to give up something to get in God's presence. Praise is a sacrifice. It's something that we offer to God sacrificially, not just because we feel like it, but because he is in our heart and we want to please him. We want to please the Lord. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We need to praise the Lord. And it is a sacrifice. God honors that sacrifice. You praise him. You put yourself down, get rid of your pride. To praise his name and be thankful to him, he'll honor it and he'll come visit with you. Why should we praise the Lord? Lots of reasons. Isaiah 24:14, they shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, because of God's majesty, because of his glory. Psalms 138:5, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord, because of his excellency. Psalms 148:13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. Because of his greatness, Psalms 145:3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. For his holiness, Exodus 15:11, who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Because of his wisdom, Daniel 2:20, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Because of God's power, Psalms 21:13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. Because of his goodness, Psalms 107:8, verse 15, verse 21, 31, all of them say pretty much the same thing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. That's repeated four times right there. You don't think God's good to you in your life? Try going 5 minutes without him. You don't even know it. You don't even know how good he's being to you in spite of your own self. His goodness. His goodness. I skipped a page. So why should we praise the Lord? Because of his mercy. 2 Chronicles 20:21. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. We're saved through his mercy because of his loving kindness and truth. Psalms 138, 2, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Because he's provided salvation. Luke 1, 68 and 69. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation. God saved us. Y'all don't think he's got something to be praised for? And to send the devil running. Satan hates the praise of God. He despises it. You want to get Satan out of a room? Praise the Lord. Get God's presence in here, he will run. He don't come in where God's at. He don't do it. You get God in here in this place, that's what's so wonderful when God shows up. Because all of a sudden, all the cares of this world go out the window. And you don't care anymore about whatever problem you got. All you care about is enjoying the Lord's presence. And that's what eternity is going to be like. We get to enjoy a little piece of that here if we praise the Lord. Because of God's wonderful work, Psalms 152, praise him for his mighty acts. What are some of these mighty acts? Creation, redemption, consolation, judgment, true counsel, keeping his promises, pardoning our sin, our spiritual health, our physical health, our eternal security, our protection, answered prayer, the hope of glory, all of the physical, material, and spiritual blessings he's given you in your life, he deserves our praise. He deserves our praise. How do we do it? How do we praise the Lord? With understanding, Psalms 47:7, sing ye praises with understanding, with our soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise comes from inside. With the whole heart, Psalms 9:1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. With our lips, Psalm 63:3, my lips shall praise thee. With your mouth, with the mouth, my mouth shall show forth, Psalms 51:15, my mouth shall show forth thy praise. With joy, Psalm 63:5, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. With gladness, 2 Chronicles 29:30, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. With thankfulness, Psalms 147:7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Continually, we just read Psalm 71:6, my praise shall be continually of thee. To the end of life, Psalms 104:33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. The rest of our lives. More and more. We shouldn't just praise him now, we should praise him more and more. Psalm 71:14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Day by day, 2 Chronicles 30:21, and the Levites and the priests praise the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. So how should we praise the Lord? All kinds of ways. We sing, we play music. The preaching, can it praise the Lord? Absolutely. We want God's presence in here. It's going to have to be praised. So what stops us from praising him? Ourselves. Our pride. We're too full of ourselves. It's all about us. We think we're responsible for all the good things in our life. We think, I work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. All our blessings are because of me. Nope. You got it backwards, man. No. God teaches us to praise him. God teaches us to praise him. I maintain it's probably the most important thing in our Christian lives. It's how we get fellowship with God. He doesn't just run in the room in spite of us. I believe, and I think that one verse that we read tells us, that we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. He's there. If you want to get in here where he's at and get in on it, we got to praise him. We got to praise him. I feel like it's a lot of times easier for us to serve the Lord, to give financially, physically, to go work. I think it's easier for us to do those things than to praise the Lord, at least in my own life. It's not hard for me to write a tithe check. Once I got that settled, it's not hard for me to write a missions check. I know that's where God gave me that money. It's not even mine. He gave it to me. Plus, he gave me more. I got all that settled. But why don't I praise him more? I do some, but not near enough. These people that I know that are close to God, man, they're nothing but praise. That's all they do. And you know what? It seems like nothing ever goes wrong in their life. But you know it does. They got problems probably taller than any of us in this room. But man, how do they get that relationship with God? I think it's praise. I don't think you have a bunch of things you got to do. God told the Pharisees, ye scribes and Pharisees, you are outwardly praising, but inwardly, you're dead men's bones. You're going through the motions, buddy, but it don't mean anything on the inside. It's the inside that comes out. And that's what I believe God is showing us in praising him. Don't do it outwardly like the Pharisees. And that's, you know, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I'll keep that to myself. Outward shows don't mean anything to God. All the work and all the sacrifice and all the things we do in the name of Christ, they don't mean anything if they don't come from in here in our inward relationship. And because we want to honor him and serve him, that's when he starts to inhabit our lives. That's the lesson. The end. All right, we'll dismiss. Dude, 3 minutes early. I thought there was no chance we would get through all that. But we did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, right?